Hello, my name is Sonia. I'm the Community Engagement Officer for ParentLight, which is a part of your town. Today we're going to be talking about some of the concerns and issues and things that can be arising when a child transitions from primary to high school. Today I have with me the ParentLight manager, and she's going to be talking a lot about the parent perspective of having this transition and going through the transition. And then we've also got Georgia, who is the Kids Helpline at Schools Program Manager, and she's going to be talking about a lot of the things that are associated with how children are feeling through these transitions and what can be helped and assisted with. So first of all, we're going to be talking about the responsibilities and commitments of families and children. So that can be including homework, it can include out-of-school activities and extracurricular activities, and also just the work commitments of parents. So can you share with me your thoughts today about that topic?
Absolutely. So I'll start with talking a little bit about homework and assignment management, particularly what we share with students when we work with them, because naturally transitioning to high school can be a very nerve-wracking, anxiety-provoking experience, given that students are expected to be a lot more autonomous with their time and with their time management, workload increases, that sort of a thing. So it's definitely something that is a big topic area for us, and we get a lot of questions around. So some of the helpful hints and tips that we give around managing assignments and study workload is to be able to break it down into manageable bite-sized pieces to set them up for success, not failure, to really kind of minimize those negative thoughts that might pop in if they do come in with an approach of, I'm just going to get it all done. So to kind of break this down, an analogy that we use is don't set yourself up with, look, it's Friday night, I'm going to smash out this assignment, it's going to be great, I'll have it done, because in reality, probably not going to happen. there might be a roadblock that they might meet, or something might naturally pop up, or another assessment might take priority. There's just so many bits and pieces that can just go wrong in that moment, and also it's just not a great approach in general. So instead of that approach, breaking it down into I am going to work really hard for setting a time limit, an hour, taking a break halfway in between, and I'm going to write two really great paragraphs. I'm going to get a great start, I'm going to be happy with my intro, and that's where I'm going to leave it. And this is just really helpful because, as I said, small bite-sized pieces, manageable. It does require forward planning. So with this approach, it's looking forward and projecting, when am I going to work on this report, getting a calendar out, whether that's on their phone or if they have a calendar on the wall still. Do people still do that? I do. planning their time, blotting out spaces to be able to achieve that goal in little bite-sized pieces. Naturally, students' organisation skills can be very different. It just depends on who they are as a person. Some people are quite naturally organised, and this is something that they do flit into quite easily. But for some students, it's not a natural strength, and that's okay. It's just trial and error, figuring out what works best for them, and being kind to themselves as well, because it is such a big transition, and it might take them the first two terms before they find the right balance of how they organise their assignments and homework management, and that's okay. There's no right or wrong. It's
And I think with more teachers than just the one, also that's a bit of a transition within itself, and having those different lots of homework from each different subject can be difficult.
Absolutely. Another thing that we talk to them about is being mindful of pacing themselves as well. So if they have a whole heap of math homework, just trying to focus on that in one time slot too, as opposed to having, your math textbook and your geo textbook, and being across the two, because it just, yeah, doesn't set them up for success again. If your mind's open to too many different tasks, you know, just, yeah.
It's very overwhelming.
It's overwhelming, yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing that we talk a lot about is rewarding themselves too.
Of course,
setting an incentive. You know, once you have worked hard, go and watch Netflix or run outside, whatever it is that they want to do. But yeah, give your coming up with a reward and then working towards that and sticking to that too as much as they can. And yeah, that can be a really great push.
Give themselves those breaks, which is
great,
really
motivator.
Especially if they're coming straight from school, have a bit of a break.
Absolutely.
Don't get things straight away.
Yeah.
And what about from the parent perspective, Kim? How do you feel is the best, what's the best advice for parents around homework and that managing?
Look, I think similar to what George has been talking about, you know, but in kind of in the opposite kind of direction a little bit. You know, we see kids, their schoolwork, their responsibilities, their workload, that will increase in high school. It's a natural thing that's going to happen. And if we kind of flip that, then what we know is that parents' involvement, parents' responsibilities will go down. You know, we want that. We want to be able to kind of give our kids a really good, solid foundation to scaffold really positive practices and positive habits and things like that. But right now, when we're talking about this, it's how do we kind of support them during that transition? And first and foremost, I think that means like checking in with ourselves and seeing how that actually makes us feel, because that might cause a little bit of distress for parents or a little bit of anxiety, you know, that loss of kind of a little bit of that loss of control. And I'm not as involved in my children's schooling as what I may have been in their primary school years as well. So checking in first and foremost with how that, you know, some parents are going to be really happy, like, like I don't, but it's checking in. Secondly, I think it's really important to like know what your individual child's needs are. Some might need a little bit more help. Having conversations around that, but like really kind of consciously thinking about these conversations that we're going to have first and foremost and setting them up for success. And that sometimes means taking a second and kind of talking to your kids about what they need. What you know, how can I help? You know, understanding that parents will have an expectation, or they may have an expectation. Is it a realistic expectation? Is it a realistic expectation for the school or even for their child as well? So like, how do we set this up? How do we help? How do we help you? What do you need from me, like I said? So it's literally around kind of, you know, we're a team here, but my team and my role in this is to support you to be able to get the skills, feel confident and feel less overwhelmed with this kind of transitional process.
Yeah, wonderful. And also, I feel that a lot of times when children transition into high school, there is that stress. The workload does increase a little bit from primary school, and parents get quite stressed, and there might be a little bit of a drop in grades, or there's many different reasons for that maybe happening. What are your thoughts about maybe parents who may be considering tutoring and things like that, that extra help outside of school?
Again, I think it really depends on your individual situation. You know, parents aren't coming into this with a clean slate. Like, they've got a lot of things on their plate.
Absolutely.
As well. Families are complex, work, relationships, other children, other commitments, all the rest of it. If that is a feasible option for your family, I definitely think it's something worth exploring. But like, again, it's about having a conversation with your child. Is this something that's going to help them? A lot of the time, again, if we're talking about ultimately the relationship, if a parent is, you know, if it's stressing out and it's causing strain on the relationship, on the connection between your child and yourself, then that's a concern, right? Like, how do we kind of buffer that, and how do we protect that? Because ultimately, that's the most important thing. You know, and our kids frustrate us sometimes, right? Our kids frustrate us, especially if we've been at work all day, or especially if we've been kind of with a younger sibling all day and not sleeping much and things like that. So how do we kind of figure out some of the options? And for me, a tutor is similar to what George has been talking about. Is it just another level of kind of helping a young person or your child, you know, learn about that organisational space and taking a step back from that sometimes for some families is a great thing.
Yes. Yeah. But thanks for sharing that information. Now, we were talking a little bit about those responsibilities, about how they increase often when it comes to going into high school. And a lot of it is around the fact that kids are a little bit more, I suppose, not sheltered, but a little bit more nurtured in the way that they might have after school care in the afternoons. They might be going to before school care. That doesn't happen in high schools, and there is that stress, I suppose, and anxiety for parents, and maybe children might feel a little bit vulnerable too, because their whole way of getting to and from school might change, and their responsibilities might be a little bit different. They might be going to a home that doesn't have a parent. So what are your thoughts about that, Georgia?
So one of the strategies that we talk about with students, if they're journey to and from school is going to look a little bit different to what it looks like in primary school, is to be as prepared as possible. So if that means that they are going to be walking to school now, to do a practice run, walk the route, figure out how long it's going to take them, so that there's no surprises on the first day of school. If they are going to be catching public transport, doing some practice runs, figuring out whether they need to make any connections, and again, how long is that going to take, and whether this is something that they want to do in conjunction with a parent to kind of walk through. I mean, that might be a nice thing if there is space for that, or whether it is something that they do want to do autonomously to get into that space and that feel of what is this going to look like, what do I need to be responsible for, mostly my time, and making sure that they are managing that.
And I think many kids would be quite excited about that new transition and catching a train rather than a bus or getting a lift from mum and dad's. But it can also incite some anxiety around that.
Like everything, exciting but nerve-wracking.
Exactly. And it takes a little bit of time. So having a travel buddy or something like that,
organising
maybe some backup plans as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
What about yourself?
Look, I think Georgia pretty much nailed it as well. Again, it's about understanding what's going on for your kid. I think sometimes kids can be really excited about it.
Yeah.
And it's a really positive thing. And sometimes parents can be really anxious about it. So I think sometimes it's really important to kind of just take a moment and be like, is how I'm feeling the same as my child is, how my child is feeling? If they're really excited about it, then how do we kind of do these run throughs and keeping it like at a positive kind of space, as opposed to like, this is really stressing me out kind of stuff. So, you know, a parent kind of managing how they're feeling, as opposed to if it's in direct odds with how their child is presenting. But ultimately it's having those conversations. It's you know, how do we want to make the first day, the first week, we want to make it, you know, there's going to be hiccups anyway, there's going to be natural anxiety. So actually kind of doing things that we can actively de-escalate, you know, what we can control is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I suppose this time in a young person's life, you know, it happens in primary school as well, but this looks different as well with the way the school changes the flexibility of movement, the extracurricular things like sports outside of school. That can also be a bit anxious driven. There might be new teams, there might be new areas, there might be lots of different new domains in that young person's life that will change that extracurricular activity. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, one of the biggest messages again is knowing their limits. And not being afraid to, you know, try these new opportunities. Again, it's a transitional period. It's learning how they all juggle and you know, connect together and what that looks like. One thing that a lot of students flag is because potentially they would like to go on and get a part-time job or some casual work, you know, earning a bit of their own money is very exciting. And we often hear that students feel quite overwhelmed and a bit stressed if they do go and get that part-time job and they're managing that with workload and then, you know, after school sport, and not being sure of, well, what do I drop? And then feeling potentially a commitment to an employer, you know, when really that's something that they would like to drop, you know, maybe cut back on a shift so that they can focus more on sport or whatever it is. So we really kind of have open conversations with them around, know what your limits are, identify what might need to change or what might need to just be adapted a little bit to fit it into your schedule, and having the courage to have those conversations, which is difficult at that age, absolutely. And then if that is something that they're unsure about how to broach, whether it is with a coach or an employer, or whoever that main contact might be for that individual extracurricular activity, then having a conversation with a support person outside of that to practice or to get some ideas or to get the backup so that they can, have a chat about that. But really, knowing their limits, recognizing what their breaking points might be, or when they are starting to, you know, get into that territory of, this is too much. And that it's okay if changes do need to be made.
And I could imagine that would be the open conversation, that communication with parents, Kim.
Definitely. And look, I think it's about kind of parents kind of taking stock of, what they've got on as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's really also kind of reminding people that, you know, relationship and connection and time in with our kids doesn't change just because they go to high school.
Mm.
So, you know, some teenagers, their timetables are busier than most CEOs, right?
Yeah.
So it's crazy. Mm. But really kind of prioritizing and then looking at the times that you do have, the times in the car that you can connect with your kids, understanding that it is, you know, when we're that busy and that kind of stretched, it can be really hard to do that sometimes. So just giving yourself a moment and looking at the times that we can just connect and you know, stay involved and stay like knowing what's going on for our kids and having conversations and, you know, just random chats and all that. Like that needs to be a priority as well, I think.
I think that parallel conversation, the car's always a good one, isn't it?
Teenage boys,
yes,
car rides.
Perfect.
Car rides
prime
are
time.
Great. Prime time. Prime time. You've got them contained.
Thank you very much for sharing that information. It's been really insightful to hear your thoughts about a responsibility and commitment.